The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. The Old Express Bus to Hell. No lines, no waits.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. It's 4 a.m., and that means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I'm your ghost, as always, Tony. Joining me today is...
Brian.
And...
Yeah, I'm the chocolate starfish, arch nemesis of Cat Piss Man.
Oh, God.
We'll have action figures coming to a Toys R Us near you before they all close.
These will be next door neighbors, and then they have a fallout.
I really hope. I hope you choke on your hot dog flavored water.
Wow.
All right. So, death is no way to make a living, and there's no rest for the wicked, because when your number's up, it's up. We watched The Frighteners from 1996.
And other Guns N' Roses song titles.
Yeah. Also known as the incredible soul-distracting cases in Hong Kong.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you mean in Hong Kong it's known as that. I was like, yeah. There's a title somewhere that said it's the soul-distracting cases in Hong Kong.
Yes,
it's
took place
like they're not even in Hong Kong at all.
It's directed by Peter Jackson from Meet the Feebles, Dead Alive, of course, King Kong, as we know from this.
Dead Alive, that's one with Joe Piscopo?
No.
Okay.
Shit, something.
I can't remember the name of that.
Yeah, the cop that died. I know what you're talking about, but that's not this.
Isn't that like, is that Body Parts or?
I know this movie where Joe Piscopo dies and
that is not, back to life. Yeah, it's Dead is in the title, but I can't.
Is it Dead Again or something like that? Or?
Maybe Dead Again.
I don't know.
Anyway, let's not get caught up on that.
Is it on the list?
Nobody can tell what the title is. I don't think it's on the list.
But, of course, Peter Jackson, also known for Lord of the Rings and The Hobbits. So, Brian, what is your personal history with this movie?
So, this came out what year?
1996.
I didn't see this until probably 99.
Is it Dead Heat?
Dead Heat.
Dead Heat. Dead Heat. I didn't even get it on my phone. It hit me.
It was 1999. So remember, I had made some friends at UConn, not Joe in that group, that were like really into this movie, and they made me watch it because I told them I'd never seen it before. And I remember like enjoying it when I saw it then.
Okay.
That's what I remember.
All right, Rob.
I don't remember the first time I saw this. Maybe in theaters? No?
I don't think so.
Okay, I honestly don't remember. Like, the only time I remember watching this is fairly recently. Okay. But I know I've seen it before that. Yeah, that's as far as I can tell you.
I know. I believe this is one that I picked out from like a Blockbuster video or something.
Okay.
Because we kept walking by the cover, which had like that hologram. So the face kind of came out of the wall.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like.
Like Jack Frost.
All right. You got me. I'm going to try and run this and see what happens.
The effect is like always freaking to me.
Yeah.
Like today it wasn't.
I had that effect on my copy of The Lost World, Jurassic Park.
Not quite the same. All right, I've been outvoted. So,
woo!
Brief history of this movie. It was originally going to be an episode of Tales from the Crypt,
woo!
But Robert Zemeckis liked it so much that he wanted to make a full-fledged movie out of it.
Okay, all right.
I want to dip my balls in it.
It would have been funny if the Crypt Keeper was in one of those caskets in the movie.
They wouldn't. Yeah, why didn't they?
That would have been funny.
Added money? I don't know. But film was not released in Tasmania because it was a little too close to the Port Arthur massacres that had occurred just like months beforehand. Tom Cruise and Matthew Broderick were thought as backups if Michael J. Fox didn't take the role.
Huh?
Wow. That's something.
What was Godzilla out when this was?
I believe Godzilla came out this year.
What year was this?
96?
No, Godzilla was 99.
Oh.
It was 99? Was it that late? No, because 99 was when Godzilla 2000 came out.
Okay, maybe so 98? 98, yeah, 98.
Okay. I knew it was around that time. But Michael J. Fox was the one they wanted from the very beginning.
I dug worms out of the ground because they grow big in Chernobyl.
All right.
It's a Godzilla.
Michael J. Fox a few times ended up blowing the scene when he accidentally called the judge Doc numerous times.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess he was just kind of falling into old habits there.
Or he was making a statement about how Christopher Lloyd looks.
Wow. That's rough. But this also was what made Michael J. Fox decide he needed to spend more time with his family. So this was his last leading role. So he went on to TV doing Spin City. And that's pretty much it.
Okay.
All right. So anyone want to guess at the budget this movie had?
Well,
$45 million.
All right. Let's see. Peter Jackson, it means it's about an hour and a half longer than it needed to be. So I'm going to say there's a lot of CG in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of really bad CG in this movie. I'm going to go with $30 million.
Afraid you both lose. It was $26
million. Okay. All right. Well,
anyone want to guess at how much money this movie made?
$40 million.
I'm going to say $60.
$29
million. Cool. Okay.
Yeah. This is why I felt that I was correct in my recollection that we did not see this in the theaters. This was a rental because I think that's how most of the world saw this movie.
Okay.
But anyway, where'd that money go, Brian? Who's in this?
Well, we got Michael J. Fox as Frank Bannister.
This will be his first time on the podcast, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. We got Trini, Alvarado as Dr. Lucy.
Just call her pseudo Andy McDowell.
Yeah, she looks like Andy McDowell for real. We got Chad McBride, Cyrus, Jim Fife as Stewart, Jake Busey as Johnny Bartlett. You got John Astin as the judge. Peter Dobson as Ray Linsky. Which one was Ray?
The douche guy that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The husband guy. And you got D. Wallace as Patricia Ann Bradley.
Do you need some water? Tony, why is there that number on your forehead?
I'm dying.
It looks like you asked for a 13. But they drew a 31.
Can I have your stuff? You die?
Do you have stuff?
I don't really, but you can have it.
Just so you know.
I'm a soulless artwork. You make millions.
Rum and Coke. Rum and Coke is not the same as water.
I'm aware. It's all right. I did the job. So.
You're still coughing. It obviously did not do the job.
So anyway, welcome back to the show, D. Wallace, who, of course, is famously the mother from E.T., but also the mother from Critters, a previous episode.
She was?
Yeah.
And who was she?
Patricia Ann Bradley.
She was the co-conspirator.
Oh.
I know.
She was the mother from E.T.? Oh, she was the mother from Critters?
Yep.
Oh. Tony, get some water.
All right, hold on.
I like how you bottle of water in front of you. Give it to him, like.
I've been drinking out of this.
Oh, I mean, your brother's shit.
The hell does that mean?
I don't know.
I've known you for a long ass time. Would you drink out of this bottle?
No, of course not. You have cooties.
All right then.
But so does Tony. So I mean, like, I don't see them.
It's different cooties.
Oh, hi, Tony.
Different kind of cooties.
Okay.
So I hope you all enjoyed this behind-the-scenes glimpse.
Behind-the-scenes glump.
Behind the thumb.
It's a glump, all right.
Behind the chunks glump.
Oh, God.
Brian,
so
you're lucky that we don't share containers, okay? Because I just want to take a huge gulp out of your orange soda.
Oh, it has caffeine, doesn't it?
I don't. Yeah, I think the.
Oh, yeah, this one has caffeine.
Oh, for sure.
It does. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Gotta get that orange slice.
Yeah, another don't.
So, for the movie, however, that we watched.
Yep.
We start out in an old house.
Creepy ass house.
We get some Elfman droppings.
We.
The scraps that fell off the
clothes. It's like, he just handed Peter Jackson, he was like, Tenny, can you give us a school for the film? And he's like, yeah.
The fuck was that?
Shut up. My brain's still in making fun of the Australian accent. It's having a hard time kicking over to New Zealand.
I thought maybe you thought Peter Jackson's part of the Flight of the Conchords.
It's basically he is, right? I mean, it's just a bunch of hobbits and crap running around.
Are you still mad about the movie not being real?
No.
Dundee?
No, the episode's over. I'm over it.
Okay.
And has that ever applied?
Every episode. Yeah, so Danny Elfman's just like, all right, here's a bag of ends and pieces. You can arrange them as you wish.
It might be. From what I read, I guess Danny Elfman was a big fan of Heavenly Creatures, which was also done by Peter Jackson.
A porn?
No. But to the point where he was like, I'll do your next movie, sight unseen. So he might have just gotten, you know, like, here's a script, do some music for it. And it's like, this, here, whatever.
Did he do Beetlejuice music?
Danny Elfman?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Anything Tim Burton is probably Danny Elfman.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Peter Jackson just called Danny Elfman on the phone. He's like, Danny, this is Tim Burton.
Last time.
Listen.
Try it again? All right.
How do you get to Carnegie Hall?
My bad.
This is Tim Burton.
Not doing this.
Got a movie. Just don't meet me. Just send it in the mail.
All right. Well, so, in the scary house, we get a carpet monster that's attacking this girl. This old woman's quite upset. She's trying to fight it off with a shotgun. This carpet monster's kind of bat at her like a cat.
Carpet monster.
What? I don't know what to call it.
All right, so I'm going to spoil this right now. Like, I'm to the end of this movie. Is that really what's happening in this scene right now?
No. Absolutely not. Nope. Absolutely not.
Anyway, sorry.
So, yeah, this woman is being accosted by this cartoon. It's like, worse looking than the magic carpet from Aladdin.
So it looks,
it's like less realistic.
Hold on, I got this.
Yeah, please.
It looks like the bottle of purple soda that they wrote on in Food Fight.
Oh, no.
The
no,
soda
no.
spit out.
No,
the
Brian,
soda
no,
spit out,
no,
like the liquid soda spit out. That's the same kind of liquid motion. At least
I don't remember that at all. But no, I can't.
It is
disagree.
Not that bad. It is not that bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
It's bad, but it's not that bad.
It's bad. Yeah,
we're borderline. Like we're just a hair above Lawnmower Man with this. Like, but it's not Food Fight bad.
The problem that I have, it's not necessarily the polygons. It's the textures on everything.
They don't blend?
Yeah, they don't blend. They're all, like, really just brown and dark and, like, just... It just all looks like mud. Yeah. It's just a bunch of mud floating around.
But they smartly mostly made this to kind of just be, like, mud.
My name is Mud.
Yes. My name is... but no, like...
All my friends are brown and red. Different song, but I like it.
Yeah, we're not talking about Spoon Man. So, anyway... it's attacking, quote unquote, this girl. And this woman takes out a shotgun and just starts firing at it, and presumably, but just blowing up pieces of her house, I guess, and fences this thing off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't it just kind of cut out there?
Yeah, it kind of jumps at her, and we just cut away. I honestly, because of the way they cut, I thought she was the first one to die. We'll find out that's not true, but hey, whatever. We then see that we're at a funeral for somebody. And,
dead person.
They did.
Well, yeah, obviously a dead person. Michael J. Fox
out there handing out business cards.
Yes. Until someone, you know, shoves him away. Like, he's just trying to, you know, get his name out there, spread the word. But it's not going so well. Jesus, you guys are no help.
See, the problem is, Brian is having what I would like to call a demon inside right now. He's having terrible thoughts because there's a man in this film who is suffering and is probably like the sweetest guy ever, which is why I contained myself He's having a hard time. Meanwhile, I'm trying to figure out if we can actually print business cards on the salted caramel cookie bars and whether or not that would actually be cost effective.
Probably. I mean, it would be expensive. We'd eat them before we hand them out.
Well, that's the other problem.
So, anyway, no one has anything to add. Michael J. Fox's character, Frank, correct?
Yeah, Frank.
Starts driving home. He seems to be, I don't know, drunk or something. He's driving wildly for some reason. Ends up smashing his car onto this lawn near in one of the nearby houses, running over the fence and some garden gnomes.
Everyone listening, Michael J. Fox has Parkinson's.
Can we move on now?
I'm not always a bad person. I'm not.
You're worse than me this week. I don't know what the deal is.
I swear.
Is it the orange soda?
Maybe that's what, I don't know what it is.
See, I'm going to say it right now. I don't think he has Parkinson's. I think he sees dead people, and that's why. Just going to throw that out there.
I'm bitter now.
Yeah, because Tony just took your place as the worst person in the room.
How is that worse? I'm just saying.
Orange soda, you're my only friend.
I'm just saying, maybe he actually can see dead people. Anyway.
I love orange soda.
Oh, God. All
right.
So.
Doritos should sponsor us.
They really should. Another tangent. Did you guys see those commercials for that GoPuff service?
No.
What?
It's like a delivery service that just brings you snacks.
Okay.
That's it. You sell them what snacks you want, and they go get your snacks and bring them to you.
That's dope.
In like 15 minutes or something.
That's real dope.
They should sponsor us, is what I'm saying.
They should sponsor us. Uber Eats sponsor us.
If you, any of you out there
Postmates sponsor us.
Know about GoPuff, tell them.
GoPuff? Seriously?
GoPuff. GoPuff yourself.
GoPuff sponsor us.
We gotta start small.
Oh, sorry.
We should probably get to this movie at some point, too.
This movie doesn't get to this movie at some point.
No, that's the thing.
If this were the 420 podcast, they would definitely sponsor us. Anyway.
I'm blazing this caramel bar all over my microphone.
Why do people listen? So, he crouches into the fence. The guy comes out. This guy's name is Ray.
Looks like an Elvis wannabe.
He actually played Elvis in Forrest Gump.
Okay. Wow.
It's true.
So we have a meet douche moment.
Yeah. He meets this guy. Like, this guy's flipping out about, you know, he's like, oh, my lawn, we're not in the fence. I'm going to sue you. And yada. And he's just like, yeah, calm down. I'll pay for it. The guy's like freaking the fuck out.
But he won't pay for it. No, it's like they're fighting for who's the bigger douche.
Well, we don't know that yet. Right now, Frank seems like the better guy because he's just like, I'll pay for it. Don't worry about it. Here's my card. I'll take care of it. He does have a plan to dick him over, but we don't know that yet. But this guy is just a complete asshole about it, and he's screaming about, you know, I have your license number and yada yada, whatever. So, he drives off. We see what are we calling her? Annie McDowell's?
Lucy.
Lucy's fine.
Okay. No, but she looks like Annie McDowell, like, for real.
She does.
I thought it was her, like, legit.
She does kind of look like Annie McDowell. She makes a house call, because apparently the doctor that usually visits this family is attending the funeral that's going on, and she's visiting this girl.
It's the house from the
beginning.
From the opening, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the girl's name again?
Patty?
Patricia.
Patricia, okay. Right. So she has to visit her to take care of her, because she apparently never leaves the house, because her mother will not allow it.
Well, she's basically under house arrest. Like, they said in this video that she was paroled on the grounds that she would, like, be house arrested.
Yeah, whatever. We find shortly after this that, you know, the mother's like, you don't know who she is and whatever. So Lucy...
Yeah, immediately tells us who she is.
Yeah. Lucy gets this DVD that's all about the town or whatever, and the serial killer, Charles Bartlett.
Mm-hmm. Not Charles Barkley, as we thought originally.
I thought it's Charles Barkley for real.
I was thinking Charlie Lee Ray kind of reminded me of him.
I don't know who that is either.
Child's Play?
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Chucky.
You know what I saw Child's Play last?
Yeah, his name is Chucky. All
right.
Chucky the doll.
All right, well. Anyway, so he, you know, he apparently went on a killing spree in this old medical facility, whatever this was, like insane asylum or what? Just a hospital?
Oh,
whatever.
No, something.
But, and
abandoned something or other.
Or now it is.
Like everything in this, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in all fairness, if your town is known for a serial killer, are you moving there?
I mean.
Are you moving out of there? Yes.
Danzig might move in.
Make the walls bleed blood. More blood.
More blood. But anyway, yeah, he
thousands of years ago. No, sorry.
With his crinkled hand. So anyway, this guy killed 12 people.
Chicken. Big chicken.
That's a different one entirely. So
but
off
it's
track.
Hilarious. Right,
so off track. So he killed 12 people. She apparently may have assisted in some fashion. So she is under house arrest with her mother. And yeah, that's Lucy now knows that's what's going on with all this nonsense.
They're making known pretty quickly that he was trying to beat the record of the last serial killer. He wants to be the number one, most wanted, whatever.
Yeah.
So the last number was 11, so they got 12, so he's in first place now, apparently.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Yeah.
Yay for him.
Numbers are important to him.
Oh, yeah. Lucy just starts figuring all this out when suddenly the bed starts levitating. Things are floating around the room. Everything's going crazy. She's being haunted. So they
but
call
what do you
up.
Know? She has a card.
Yeah. She happens to have one of Frank's cards. She got at the funeral, or did it just show up?
No, I'm pretty sure the ghosts, when they came to haunt the house, they just planted it on her.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be how they roll.
Yeah. So, yeah, they find the card. She calls the number. Frank shows up. He's got some equipment. He's ready to take care of these evil specters. He's doing his little thing, his, you know, snake oil salesman.
Yeah, it's
going to
cost a whole lot. Or we can, you know, just call a wash that I never hit your fence. And, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ray, the dude whose car, or the dude whose lawn, yeah, he tore up earlier, is married to Lucy. Yeah. He shows up, and here's where we find out they've got a whole Dragonheart situation going on, where Frank is actually in league with these ghosts. He sends them in. They cause a ruckus, and then he comes in and cleans up.
Yeah. He's even got some weird little toaster thing that makes it look like he captured the ghosts and whatever, but it's all nonsense. Except, as he's about to leave, he sees a number on Ray's forehead. 37?
37, yeah. 30-something.
Not that important, but there's a number. And he's like, that's weird. I don't know what's going on with that, but, you know, I did my job. Fence is taken care of. Now I'm going to go home and have a talk with these ghosts because they apparently ditched it before, you know, I got here to do my whole seance-y thing. They were supposed to be still there messing with stuff.
He's supposed to be, I'm guessing he wants to put a bigger show on to make it seem like he,
oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, I think the main point is he wants them to be active when he shows up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot more impressive if they're still, you know, spinning the bed against the wall or ceiling or whatever when that little toaster thing pops up if it drops and then it's like, oh, clearly they're gone now. You know, it's more impressive. But so, yeah, he goes home. He's yelling at them.
These ghosts are cartoon characters.
They really sure are.
It's that CGI when they finally decided, oh, look at what we can do with CGI. We can stretch it and do stupid things that look terrible. Let's do them all.
Like, I feel like it's better, more suited for like the Haunted Mansion in Disney.
Yeah, like this is Casper crap.
Yes.
It is
Casper crap.
Yeah, but you got like real actors playing these ghosts and it just looks awful.
Well, yeah, just from the base, their cartoon character, because one of them's a black dude from the 70s.
Right.
With the afro and the, you know, like.
Amazing suit.
Yeah. the other one's, I think.
Big ass lapels.
He was like a 50s nerd or something, was that?
Probably. No, he had a letter jacket on, I thought.
Oh, he did, but I don't know, he seemed kind of nerdy.
So. It was his boyfriend, so it wasn't.
He was a mathlete, all right?
You know, that might actually have been it.
Not in the 50s. would put him in a different era, but that could have been
I mean, like he it might have been for academic something or not for another sport, because he wasn't very coordinated.
No. He was definitely more nerdy, and they kept joking about what a dweeb he was. And then the other is the judge, who is like old Texas shoot-em-up guy with his jaw falling off and whatever.
I want more of that dog that showed up.
Did you?
There was a dog there. Just more dog shit.
I saw that there was a dog. I just don't. I don't know that we necessarily needed more.
You know how terrifying it is to hear like the screams of hounds howling, and then you guys know what Supernatural. Okay, never mind.
But still, like, the dog could have had more of an active role because he's literally in this one scene and never seen again.
Yeah, but that's because the dog was like fully CG. They probably couldn't have him do much.
I don't know if he was always fully CG. He, for the little bit of time he spent, a lot of them was CG. Because again, we're fucking cartoons, and we got to do the, you know, you grab my tail, I'm going to stretch out and then come to a screeching halt and snap back and whatever other.
You know when I knew this movie was ridiculous today? When
2 minutes in?
Actually, yes. When Frank crashes the car.
Mm-hmm.
He gets out and goes blah, 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 blah. When he gets out of the car, I'm like, oh, it's cartoon.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's right. I'm like, all right, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I probably was thinking about the same time. It was cemented when we grab the bug spray or whatever and sprays it in that one dude's face, which melts away for a moment. And I'm just like, okay, this is just nonsense.
Pretty much anything involving the ghosts. Like, anything.
Which, whatever, that's fine. They're cartoons. It becomes more of an issue later, but we'll save that for now. He's just dealing with these ghosts. Like I said, the judge shows up chasing the dog because it has his jaw. And he starts talking about how, like, he's getting older. Quit. Yeah, he might have to finally head off into that bright light in the sky or whatever. Like, I guess just a graveyard.
Yeah, well, all the ghosts are discontent because they feel like Frank is not treating them properly.
Yeah.
And so there's all this kerfuffle and discontent.
Yeah, like, you need to treat us better. You need to get us things, even though we can't really interact with them.
Yeah,
bizarre motivations. I don't know. But Frank obviously has more of a motivation because Bank's about to foreclose on his place. This building that he's half built. So he's like, we got to up the scares. So let's, let's get really scary. And so they go to this rich person's house.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, let's give them a good freak out.
Let's mess with some babies.
Yeah, let's mess with some babies.
Babies like it. They were like in on it because kids can see spirits, apparently.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, I mean kids are like, thing. You know. Kids are like connected in ways that we're not because their brains are more free and able to realize things that we have blocked out.
But they're also stupid. So, I mean, I guess.
Oh, yeah. So are you. So, like.
Yeah.
What's point?
Yeah. I think that.
Well, I'm stupid, so I don't really have a point.
I think the real idea here was like maybe these kids didn't know what these ghosts were saying, but they knew enough to be like, hey, you seem cool. If you want to float me around, I'm okay with that.
Stupid babies need the most attention.
They do. They throw the babies around. The mother and the nanny freak out. They call Frank. He heads on over, but he's been outed as a fraud in the newspaper. So
here's what I don't get.
Yeah.
This lady saw her kids flying around the room.
Mm-hmm.
How the fuck do you fake that?
It's not so much how you fake it. It's how much you deny it. She popped a couple of pills, drank a couple glasses of wine, and decided that never happened.
That, or she's like, all right, I'm seriously haunted, but you're a fraud, so I'm going to wait till the Ghostbusters can get here, and you can just go fuck off somewhere.
And they just fire proton packs at my children.
They might slime them.
No, they would put them in a carriage and let it go wander around the streets on its own.
That would be cool, too. Yeah, and then Peter McNichol would show up in a dress and steal them away. Who? I'm sorry, I was thinking of Kevin Spacey, not Peter McNichol.
Fuck. Fuck. Oh. But if... I lost my train of thought now. Yes.
All right, so... Anyway, Frank's desperate for money. Falcor. Wow. So yeah, he's desperate for some money. He's looking for something he can do, and he happens to notice this funeral procession that's going through the town because apparently another person has died. It seems to be a regular thing. He's a real dick about it too, but eventually he goes to the cemetery and he sees it's this girl Lucy, and or I believe first he runs into Ray. Is that
He doesn't see. Yeah, he sees Lucy driving because he's out of his car now, walking around, and then Ray's running, chasing after the procession, and runs into him.
Yeah, but Ray is a ghost, so he's like a ghost running down the sidewalk.
Yeah.
When all of a sudden Egon is sitting on a bench, steps on a little trap, and just sucks Ray into it.
I totally was thinking about that too.
That would have been a much better end.
No. Maybe, but that's not what happens. So he runs into Ray. He's like, okay, you know what? I'll take you over. I'm going to go check out this funeral. We're going to see what's going on. Because he's just pestering him or whatever. So I think maybe he's more to show him that he is dead to try and hopefully give him some kind of closure. I don't know. But he takes him over there, has a brief conversation with Lucy because she's, you know, interacted with him before. She wants to know that everything is okay with Ray. And he's like, you know, well, let's go out to dinner and we can talk a little more about this. So
you pay.
Did he say that?
No.
Okay. Probably, but no.
So they go to this sweet ass restaurant where it's like a Ren Faire, but not like medieval times. You're not like watching a show. It's just everybody's dressed in period clothes. And
why go if there's no show?
Because you still get to eat.
But you can eat anywhere.
Food's probably better. It's probably not just a Cornish game hen and a flagon of Pepsi.
Not, I'm not knocking medieval times, but medieval times is like a come watch some guys on horses smack into each other while we give you shitty food. This is more like
I never said it was shitty food, for the record. I will eat a Cornish game hen right here, right now.
Whole.
Bones and all. Like an anaconda.
Yeah. Like it was John Voight.
And then I'll vomit it up so I can eat it again.
But this seems like more of a, you know, we can sit down, have a nice conversation, have some decent food, but, you know, you got somebody in, like, full armor giving you, refilling your water glass or whatever. Because why not? I'm down for that. No? All right. Anyway, while they're there, Lucy's like trying to get some information from Ray.
Yeah,
like,
apparently she's 16 grand is missing out of their account, and she's not sure where the fuck it went. And Ray's a scumbag. He made a bad investment, didn't tell her.
Yep.
He invested it all in Paula Deen cookware.
Is this never mind. So
nope.
Oh. So anyway, yeah, like she's just like trying to find out normal stuff, and like I don't know, Frank's lying about what Ray is saying.
Well, first he's honest at first.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, he says what Ray says, but once Ray lets it slip that he made a bad investment, he's like don't tell her that. He's like fuck that, I'm telling her. He tells her, then he's like fuck Ray. I'm trying to hook up with Lucy. It was working for a hot second too. And then Lucy lets slip how like their relationship wasn't all that great to begin with, and like Ray's trying to guess things, telling him things that Lucy likes, and she says the opposite.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, they weren't quite the happy couple.
No.
Yeah. It's like, why didn't he ever look at me during?
You see the Elvis statue all the time.
And curl his lip. It was weird.
How I shout, when he was done. Anyway, no, so
just demand a peanut butter and banana sandwich.
That's, nope. It's not gonna do it. He knocks a glass on Frank and then runs off. And Frank's like, all right, I gotta clean that up in the bathroom. While he's there, he sees this guy come in who also just so happens to have a number glowing on his head. And then the walls start moving, and the carpet monster's back.
So the mirror jump got me for a second. I will say, like, there was a mirror jump scare. It's quick. Like, that got me for a second. Then I'm like, oh yeah, the graphics are shitty.
That's what scared you. Like, oh, that shouldn't look like that.
Yeah, this Grim Reaper looking thing comes out of the mirror, grabs his dude heart, squeezes until he dies, and like this bright light from the heavens starts glowing down upon him in this tube. And Frank just kind of like watches this happen, doesn't seem to do anything about it. But
yo, Frank's kind of shitty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's definitely shitty, but like, what's he going to do about it?
Call for help?
Yeah, give him CPR. Who knows? Something. You try and do something.
I mean, he watched the guy's soul leave.
True.
He's watching it currently leave, but we've seen throughout the rest of this movie, that is not the end point. You can bring it back.
It seems to flip-flop, to be honest with you.
Well, this is where some more of my problems come into it, which is the rules of the road, as it were. Like, there's no... No, but the rules of how this stuff functions is just fucking bananas. There's no consistency to it.
Whatever.
You know what else is bananas? What? How far away those fudge cookies are from me. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
So yeah, like this dude fucking dies in front of him. He doesn't go call for help, doesn't call 911.
He just runs out of the restaurant.
He runs completely into his car and speeds off.
Yeah, he's trying to chase that carpet monster.
Which I understand he's trying to chase it, but like, yo, he say someone call an ambulance.
It sounds like, so dirty when you say it like that. Hey man, what are you doing tonight? You want to hang out? Nah, man.
I'm chasing the carpet monster. Chasing the carpet
monster. Wow. But yeah, he could say something before taking off and things like that, but let someone know there's a body in the bathroom of this restaurant. I don't think he even says anything to Lucy.
No, he just runs out. He just runs out. Gone. Just
dine and dash.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why. Hold on a second. He kept sliding behind me. Rip some more.
So...
I'm sorry. I'm a hot mess today. Full disclosure, I ripped my pants today before the podcast. So, like, from, like, taint to belt, my ass is out. Like, look at my ass is chaps right now. Like, it's bad.
So, gentlemen, if you'd like to stop by.
Really, tell me.
All right. Brian's looking for a carpet monster of his own. So, anyway, he goes chasing this thing. The police show up to talk to Lucy, because apparently she's somehow involved in this guy dying in the bathroom. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. The cops in the town are weird.
And they're about to get weirder, because we bring in, I forgot this guy's name.
Obvious Domer? Pedophile.
The obvious pedophile.
Milton?
Is it Milton?
Milton Dammers.
Dammers, yeah, that's it. He is, if you took Christoph Waltz from Inglourious Basterds, and added like 60% more pedophile. That's this guy. No? What was your description?
It was Crispin Glover and who was it? I forgot.
I forget too.
I was in the moment.
This is not helping, but he's a creepy dude. He kind of looks like he's got this like Adolf Hitler thing going on, but he's also, yeah, a little Crispin Glover. And he's just fucking weird. He's like hiding from this girl because he can't talk to girls or something. And he's just being super bizarre. But he comes flying in with like, oh, here's a bunch of exposition that you guys don't have yet. And Michael J. Fox supposedly can see dead people because he got into a car accident a long time ago. The whole thing is like, that's when he was in the car with his wife. They were arguing about something. Her body was found far away from the car. She had a number carved in his forehead. He's missing a knife and claims to have no recollection of anything that happened and yada, yada, yada.
Basically, he thinks that Michael J. Fox's character, Frank, has been killing all these people or has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
All these people who've been killed since the day his wife died.
Yeah.
And he's been using this I can see dead people thing as a means to kind of ease his conscience. Like, oh, it's a ghost doing it. It's not me. And he thinks it's like some like multiple personality.
Yeah,
kind of
he thinks that he honestly believes that it's a ghost, but he believes that he is the ghost or like some other personality of his is the ghost somehow. It's craziness.
I use the same method to ease my consciousness when I buy rip-off tagalongs from Walmart. I have not eaten Taco Bell.
I know.
In months.
Bobbert has, not Rob.
Bobbert? yeah, my ghost. The ghost that lives with me. No.
The ghost that just had an exorcism out your butthole. But anyway.
No, he eats DiGiorno.
No, chocolate starfish.
God.
He's the one who eats Taco Bell.
I thought chocolate starfish was the enemy of Taco Bell. Or vice versa, at least. Well,
Taco Bell is the sponsor of chocolate starfish.
Well, they're never going to sponsor this now. So anyway, where the hell are we? Oh, so, yeah, he
you know what, Taco Bell? You can sponsor us when you can give me a chalupa that's not cold, okay?
Ooh, shots fired.
Damn.
There you go.
So, Frank is chasing after this thing. He finds it goes to this local museum. Apparently, this dude had just died there. So, I guess this carpet monster creature got there before him.
Yeah, it moves quickly.
Yeah. It's already killed somebody, and it's got a number on somebody else.
Yeah, so the woman who outed him as a charlatan has a number on her head now. He's like, whoa, you're next, whoa. She's like, fucking threatening me? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, fuck you, dude. Like, I want to die. He's threatening me.
So what do the cops do in this situation? Do they calm everybody down and say, hey, all right, you two come here. Let's figure this out.
Of course not. They escalate.
They immediately draw their weapons? They
immediately pull their guns out.
In a crowded museum?
Yes.
And start firing wildly?
Yes, that's what happens.
Oh, okay. Well,
that one wasn't quite as immediate, but yeah, it does happen pretty fast.
Well, because the ghost guy is about to kill her when the judge shows up, like while he, like Yosemite Sam, like pew 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 pew, so I still got it. He's like pew pew. I'm not incontinent. I mean, or impotent, whatever. Pew pew pew.
I'm no longer firing blanks. I believe is the line. Yeah.
And to prove his point even more. After he shoots this ghost up, he looks at a sarcophagus, and he's like, "Oh, she got good teeth," and starts to hump it. Like, he legit jumps in the sarcophagus, and it shows his ass going in and out, like, humping this fucking mummy, like, legitimately. Yeah. And I was like, holy shit.
You know what? This is, like, the scene from the movie that I remember most. Because I'm pretty sure this scene was in commercials or previews or something.
Not that part, really? I don't think. Maybe him saying, you know, I'm not called the hanging judge for nothing, but...
Oh, he says that first.
Yeah.
Then jumps in the sarcophagus and starts helping it.
The part that threw me is shortly after that to distract the cops, which again, like, also this leads to how do more people not, you know, believe what he's saying?
Right.
Is this other mummy starts, like, coming off the wall and, like, moving forward and whatever. It's the two ghosts that are his buddies are moving this around. But it makes me say, like, was that the mummy that should have been in the sarcophagus? Is there anything actually in that sarcophagus?
We don't know.
Or is he just humping the sarcophagus?
We don't know.
It doesn't really matter. Like,
yeah.
I mean, when you're in the zone, does it matter?
I guess not.
I mean, I've seen a dog hump itself. Like, once you get going, just keep going. Like,
what?
Yo, serious.
Never mind. All right.
Yeah, so my sister had this dog, little chihuahua, who figured out if it contorts its body just the right way, it can rub itself with its dick. And so it would hump itself. Like, if you walking around, just like rub the dick against its chest, and like it would get off and then want to jump on your lap. I'm not joking. It's the grossest thing.
First of all, that's not humping yourself, that's masturbation. That's not the same.
Well, he's humping his own chest. Like,
I guess.
He don't have hands. It's a dog. Like.
Well, yeah, I get that. Yeah.
So, but he wanted to be picked up and jump on your lap and right afterwards.
Of course.
It's the grossest shit. So fucking gross.
So he just finished off. Now he wants to cuddle.
Yeah. Like a fucking gross dog.
Oh, God. What's going on over there, Rob?
I'm
out.
You guys got this.
All right.
I'm just having a cookie.
There's another whole car chase going on while he's trying to chase down this carpet monster. Eventually, he loses it. I think he crashes his car again.
Well, he punches this woman with the number on her forehead. Punches her, kidnaps her.
Right.
Cops chase them. He's not the best driver. He can't stay in the lines that well. So, like, he goes over the lines, over a cliff. Right.
So
the same spot where his car crashed and his wife died.
Why can't he stay in the line, Brian?
He's excitable. So it's heat.
He's also being choked out by a scythe at this point.
I'm saying, yeah. Like, he's seeing ghosts. He's just been shot at. He's trying to escape death itself. Like we all are.
I'm not.
That's true. Give me another cookie. Where you at, GoPuff? Even better if you show up dressed like the Stay Puff Marshmallow Man.
Oh my god. That would be amazing.
Give me a s'more.
I would rub it all over my body and just go, I love this town.
Leave your kinks at home.
Then the person that delivers would just be like, you just please pay me. I can go.
I'm tired of everyone doing that. Please just give me my money so I can go home.
You fat ass.
You people are gross.
So yeah.
All of you.
So Michael J. Fox and this reporter are driving down the same road he was on when he crashed and his wife died. Mm-hmm. And he crashes again.
Yep, same spot.
Totally rolls his car off the road. Reporter lady's getting out. And all of a sudden, oh, here's the specter of death.
Yep.
And it kills her ass. And he's just like, let me just hang out over the dead body.
Let me take it. I'm going to take out the Grim Reaper by doing a flying body tackle onto this dead body. Because that's going to end well. Even that doesn't really lead to a whole hell of a lot. Because nope. He just gets up.
It's just like punching a jar of mayonnaise. Like
the worst part is like people it kills don't leave the bodies fast to see that like what killed them. No. So she thinks that he just killed her. So she went to her grave like thinking this guy threatened to kill her and then killed her.
Yeah. Yep. But anyway, the cops are like, you know, oh, we gotta put out posters for this guy. How are we gonna find him? Dammers is like, he's resourceful, he's gonna be miles away by now, you'll never find him, yada yada. But he just turns himself in. He just shows up and he's like, hey, yeah, my car's down on that side of the road, this lady's dead by it, I need you guys to go handle that. And they arrest him. Lucy's there as well, because she just hangs out there for most of the time, I guess, from about the restaurant on to now.
Well, I believe she was being questioned or something, or held.
Yeah, but she's like, oh, you didn't do this. He's like,
how do you know I didn't? You don't know me.
You don't know shit. Go away.
You don't know me.
You
know what I'm about. I'm about that life.
So they arrest him.
I'm from the streets.
She takes off. She goes and like investigates his house.
She goes full stalker mode.
Yeah, what is left of his house.
And Ray's father, her husband's a ghost.
Yeah. She also then goes over to the old mansion she was at before for some reason.
Well, while she's there, the mother of the Patricia's mother calls, right, and says, like, Patricia's been consorting with the demons from the other side. You know, come help me banish the demons. Come help. Come help me banish them. And so Lucy's like, oh, the house is more important than I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, they might need my help. She goes over there.
And Ray follows her again.
Yeah.
And this is when he sees the house with his ghost vision.
Right.
And he sees that it's like coated in chocolate and melting.
Yeah, sort of.
It looks like the cape that's on this ghost is like over the house too. Like,
it's Luigi's mansion. It's his haunted mansion. And it makes kind of like a woo thing. Yeah, it's a spooky house. And he freaks out for a moment, but he goes in there anyway. She has a run-in.
No, he waits. He doesn't go inside.
He doesn't go inside here? Oh, no.
He goes inside. As she leaves, he goes in the front door.
Right.
She was in there for a mad long time before he finally went in there. He let her ass go in there by herself.
Yeah, because he's brave.
But, we have some kind of interaction with Patty, and she goes up into the mother's room at one point, finds Frank's missing knife. She gets back out the front door, takes off, because she now knows about the knife or whatever. Heads back to the police department to try and talk to Frank. And when she's there, She gets in because she's the doctor. When she's there, he sees that she has...
How does that work? I'm a doctor. Let me in to see the the serial killer.
Yeah, like... The... Was she was a shrink?
Maybe. Yeah, that would make sense, at least a little.
Yeah. Mm.
But whatever. I don't know.
I guess we don't really know what her doctorate is in, so whatever.
Yeah. No, it's in medicine because she was able to patch up to, you know.
Well, that doesn't mean that's her only doctorate.
I mean, she can say all kinds of things.
Yeah, she was filling in for somebody that day, so whatever. Somehow she gets in there. Frank sees that she has a number on her forehead, and the Reaper thing is coming to get her. Her two ghost buddies come flying around, and they're fighting this thing off. And I think we kind of skipped over this, but I believe at this point, Ray already actually dies.
When Ray finally goes in the house to help her.
Yeah, this Reaper thing.
The minute he walks in. Yeah. He goes, go outside. She can't see him, of course. He turns around and he's immediately killed.
Like, his ghost is killed. It's like,
yeah.
His face final is death, off, I guess. And his carcass is thrown on top of her car.
Yeah. Which she can't see any of that. Right. So, whatever.
How long was it there for, I wonder?
Good question.
I don't know. But, like, it's when they die, I guess they turn into, like, deflated balloons or something.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Like, it sucks their soul out, I guess. It sucks their essence out.
But these two other guys, they're fighting off this thing. They're trying to hold them back, but they're kind of getting their asses kicked. He, you know, does some little maneuver so they can escape. Like, she calls the guard over. He kicks the door open, yada, yada. We're running out. He says that he needs to try and deal with this thing the only way he knows how, which is to become a spirit himself. And
which is not on her head now.
Yeah. And he's ready to just shoot himself in the head.
He was going to do it, too.
Yeah. And she's like, no, I got a better idea. I'm going to throw you in.
I'm a medical doctor.
Yeah.
Let me put you under.
Sure. Because I know how to safely do this.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to freeze you in my, you know, at my local KFC or something. I don't know what the fuck this thing was.
They're in the hospital.
Why? All right. She throws him in there. He's freezing to death. His spirit leaves. She needs to revive him by a certain point to make sure he's okay. But Dammer shows up. He kidnaps her, throws her in the back of a squad car, and they take off.
Sounds so enthused.
There's just so much happening, and a lot of it is just kind of whatever.
Like, at this point, she's, like, I guess caught feelings or something. Like, she's more interested in him than she was before. Like,
oh, yeah, she's all in at this point.
For some reason.
So, like, she's like, super, I have to get back to him so I can revive him. And the FBI agent guy takes her, like, away. He's like, I'll go back in 11 hours. Meantime, I'll be handcuffed in the cemetery because I'm creepy as fuck.
So I can show you my tits.
Like, legit.
Or
like,
whatever.
So he goes this whole exposition about his backstory, how he's fucked up.
His body is a road map.
A wonderland.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be like hell. What was a Hellraiser or whatever? Cenobites were gonna come out at night, which would change the movie quite a bit. Actually,
Cenobites
or what? Scanners, and he's just got, you know, the chest vagina. Or
well,
whatever.
That's what he was trying to do though. So like he's got her in this graveyard, and he's telling her, or he told her at some point. About all these, or he told, maybe it was Michael J. Fox. He told somebody about all the experiments with goats and things where the government was trying to, you know, find a way to train people to kill goats with their minds.
Yes.
And so that's
men
what he
stare at goats. Yeah.
Is that on the list?
No.
Good.
So he's trying to do that now. Like he's trying to use the force to like move the car or do whatever.
Hold on. I just want to touch on his exposition though, a little bit, because it's fucked up.
Yeah, we'll get it. Yeah, go into his backstory, please.
So, like, he has a swastika on the palm of his hand, right? He's like, I knew Charlie. I hung out with him in this cult. I was a sex slave for 6 months. For 6 months. They did things to me. But I had to be undercover, so I had to go along with it. And so, basically, he's an FBI agent, and he go deep cover to, like, infiltrate cults. And, like, he was doing everything. So that one was the Charles Manson. Mm. There was one where what was the other one that had,
Children of Satan.
Yeah, Children of Satan. They worship Satan, so he was like their sex slave for like so many months. And there was another one that was carving his body up. Like he's like, no, they never broke me. Not once was I broken. It's like, whatever, dude, you're fucked up. Your head is gone.
Also, like, we don't specifically mention it, but I'm sure this relates to the fact that he has to use, like, one of those little donuts to sit on when he gets in the car.
You know what I never connected it to until now? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it didn't. The first couple times I saw it, that didn't really occur to me until just when we're watching, I'm just like, okay, yeah, I get it now.
Yeah.
Every time he poops, a little semen comes out.
No. Why? Why, Rob? So,
because I'm not going to make fun of Michael J. Fox. That's why.
This is all going nowhere.
Very good so far.
Yeah, I haven't had to be bad. You've been taking up the slack, no problem.
I haven't said nothing.
Yeah, I know.
Also, quick side note.
You've eaten a lot of Doritos, though.
A lot of them.
It's the garden. Viciously. That's what turns Lucy around a bit. She sees the garden that he put in that little basketball court. She's right. Like, this guy's sensitive.
Because
I can do something.
No, it's good. It was because her husband wouldn't have put the garden up. Mm. And then Ray shows up and says, like, perfectly good basketball court. Let it go to shit. Like,
yeah. Well, plus, dude was a douche in the first place, Ray.
Yeah.
And I think she was just looking for an excuse anyway.
Yeah.
Well, she definitely, was just looking for an excuse to get away from him, but, like, why she's suddenly, like, all over Michael J. Fox.
Any port in a storm, man. Any port in a storm.
For some, I'm sure. All right.
If you're unhappy, just leave. Just leave if you're unhappy.
So.
Don't wait for them to die. Just leave.
So, anyway. Frank shows up. He starts moving the car. We get attacked by the Reaper again. He lets Lucy escape. She gets in the car. She's driving back to go try and revive him. He gets into a big fight with the Reaper in the graveyard, which sadly...
As a ghost.
Yeah, he is still a ghost. Sadly, Arlie Ermey, who's been showing up multiple times, he just gets his ass handed to him.
Yeah, like, I hoped he would have been badass and stuff, but like...
Yeah, like, I didn't even remember the movie that well, so I thought at this point... Like, all the people in the graveyard showed up and, like, helped to fight off.
You would think.
This
you
thing. Would think, yeah.
Like, that would make sense. Like, oh, now Michael J. Fox is, like, one of us. We're still mad at him, but, like, we know this guy. Who's this other jerk?
Yeah, plus the whole, he killed them all and gave them numbers. So, like, he built up their numbers. That was what he was so excited about. So now you got that many number of people that are pissed at you and ready to kick your butt.
Right. But damn, Peter Jackson just can't let a movie end, so...
Yep.
How long was the movie?
It was only 2 hours, I think.
It felt like 4 hours long.
And we watched the director's cut.
Yeah, this was not bad for a Peter Jackson movie, but it still probably could have ended like half hour earlier.
No, like the first 40 minutes of the movie felt like an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I'll see. For me, it wasn't so much the beginning, it was the end. It was just like... Like, that's a good place to end it. Oh, no, we're still going. Okay, that's a good place to end it. No.
Well, that was my thing. Like, here in the graveyard, that's a good place to end it.
Tom Bombadil.
Everybody gathers together, takes out this Reaper monster. She goes and rescues Michael J. Fox. Movie ends. Yeah. Like,
but we do find out here it's not just a Reaper monster because Michael J. Fox, Frank... Rather gets the upper hand on this thing. He's beating it around, turns the mud monster into more mud, starts smacking its face against the wall to make a pizza or something. I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
And it turns out to be a donkey in a bathrobe.
Yeah, he used the guns from, what's the dude's name?
Arlie Ermey.
Yeah, to use his guns.
I think I'm saying that right.
To shoot sure. the ghost up into pieces. Yeah. Smithereens, you should say.
Yeah, we find out it's Jake Busey or Charles Bartlett, the killer from before. He's still been killing people from the other side.
If you haven't already figured it out, because, like,
yeah,
he's making his number pull higher.
Yeah.
And he's, like, the only other person that's been talked about in this movie.
Yeah.
And hasn't shown up yet.
And you're like, oh, I wonder when that's coming back. But, yeah, so sure enough, that's him. He looks like, like we said, it looks like he's done, but he kind of drips through this crypt and reforms himself. This is where I think you get some of the worst of the CGI, because it's now Frank Ghost fighting Blood Ghost.
Lawnmower Man in that other dimension. He's having sex with that woman.
Yeah, him and Michael J. Fox are going to form a dragonfly or
something. Yeah, yeah.
It's a dragonfly with big, huge teeth.
I know what you want.
mow your lawn.
Oh, God. Lawnmower man chasing carpet monsters. That sounds terrible. So, anyway, he's fighting this thing again. He's about to kill it.
He grabs his scythe. He's about to, like, cut him in half. Yeah. He's won. Like.
But Lucy revives his body, so he is pulled back into his physical form.
Peter Jackson was like, no, it can't end here.
We still got an hour to go.
Can do some more walking.
I bought all this film.
So he's like, oh, Lucy, I didn't quite get there and do the job. It's Bartlett. He's back. You gotta go save Patty. Go help her out. So Lucy runs off yet again.
I don't get this part. Because she still has a number on her fucking head.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still after her. Mm-hmm. So why send her to where it is? I don't get that.
This doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But whatever he does.
I'd be like, fuck Patty, you're still next. Well, fuck Patty. Like,
stay with me until we're both better, and then we can go talk to Patty. Yeah. But instead, I'm going to send you into the mouth of the lion and defend for yourself, basically. So she goes, she's talking to Patty. She's like, I really got to get you out of here. You can't stay with your crazy mother and being like, I have this daunted figure of your dead father's ashes looming over you and whatever. So we need to get out of here. And she's like, oh, let me go talk to my mother, see if she'll let me leave. And she goes upstairs for a few minutes while Lucy just kind of hangs out.
Yeah.
Which also doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But then she comes back and she's like, oh, yeah, mother's okay with it. We can go and whatever, and blah, blah, blah. And Lucy's like, all right, cool. We can leave. Why are you acting weird? And we find out that Patty, in fact, is still talking to...
She's been fucking his ghost.
Yeah.
Fucking his ghost. Like, for real.
They've been making many a pottery together.
Like, for real.
It literally has its hands all over and in her.
Like...
It does.
Yes, it does.
It's a lot easier to find the man in the boat that way.
Oh man.
So
I guess like she can see Bartlett's ghost, and he's like can I kill her? No. He's like, I want you to kill her. Kill her. Yeah, kill her. You know. It's like an art form for you, like, just kill her, kill her.
Which, this is also weird, because, like, he says, you know, I want to kill her now, and she's like, yes. And, like, can I kill her now? Like, yes. Like,
fucking do it.
So you're going to kill her? And then he's just like, you kill her. Like, all right, fine. We're progressing the movie.
I wonder if because he's not in that, like, demon, like, death form, if he can't grab hearts anymore.
Maybe. Like,
could be,
but... nothing like that is explained, like, what that scythe was, like, where it came from.
Well, yeah, I believe we get the impression that Frank earlier grabbed the guns from Arlie Ermey's ghost and was able to shoot him.
Yeah, but so we know those guns work, but we don't know why.
But we also don't know how or why, because, like, we see Arlie Ermey, he's, like, a sergeant, and then at one point he turns himself into riot gear when Frank tries to punch him, and that actually hurts. And then he turns himself into a boxer and actually gives him a good punch. And then he has the guns that just appear out of nowhere. Like, what? He can just do whatever the fuck he wants, apparently.
Well, he says he's a legit spirit and not an apparition, the way his other guys are. Like, he says it in the graveyard. He's like, I'm not an apparition. I'm a legit spirit. Like, I can do shit you guys can't. He says,
So he's like,
what the fuck does that mean, though?
So while those, the new, like, Ray is like, he's a soul waiting to pass to the other side. Arlie Army is like a full landlocked ghost. Like,
okay.
He's like he is a haunting.
Yeah. All right. Oh, that doesn't, like, make a whole lot of sense, but sure.
Listen, you'll have to check Tobin's spirit guide. I don't know.
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox's character says he's explaining to Ray, like, you know, in a year from now the light will come again.
Yeah,
it'll be your chance to go on. If you don't go on, then you'll become a full-fledged spirit and you'll be caught in this world. He says when him and Ray are talking,
yeah,
Ray first dies.
So right
now you're in apparition.
So why aren't more of those ghosts in the graveyard strong? Whatever. Yeah. And actually, this that does make a bit more sense because I was reading there was supposed to be a whole part about a guardian, like a guardian angel at this graveyard, but they kind of cut that and gave some of that to Arlie Army. So I'm guessing that's where that some of that comes in.
Maybe. Because he did say he had an 80-year tour of duty left.
He
there,
did.
So
yeah. But it's just so ill-defined.
And all those other apparitions may have been there because they were all killed by that dude, so maybe they had unfinished business. So once their business finished, was taken care of, they could cross. But it doesn't explain any of it.
We are adding way more to the story than the story does.
The book's still overthinking it. Like.
Yeah. If you're wondering how they eat and breathe. Anyway.
And other science facts.
Yes. We now know Patty's in on this whole business.
Yeah, she's fucking nuts.
She is nuts. And we find out her urn that she had with her father's ashes is actually Charles' ashes, Charles Bartlett. Mm-hmm. So we need to get those to consecrated grounds to try and get rid of them. So now we're off to another abandoned location.
Dude, how is there not just a church in town?
I'm saying.
Like a block away? Why you gotta go to an abandoned hospital to get to a chapel in an abandoned hospital?
For that matter, why don't you go to the not abandoned hospital?
Where did he get this? Although, okay, granted, it may have just been water. But earlier in the movie, he's got a water pistol that he says is full of holy water.
That is probably just water.
And in his 5 years being seagulls, he's not figured out how to actually hurt one.
That's true. You're not wrong. Holy water probably wouldn't work anyway, but...
It had to figure out how to hurt one. Bug spray melts their face.
Does that hurt?
For like a second.
Yeah, he can actually hurt one.
My point stands. There's like a church every other block, any town you go to. Why do they have to go to abandoned hospital?
Maybe there wasn't one there, and that's why it was a town that breeds serial killers.
No, someone was doing funerals. It was a graveyard.
Well, that means there was a church in town somewhere, but...
Yeah, but it's right there. Like, they go to the cemetery, like, every other day in this movie. They must have, like...
Yeah, I don't know.
So frustrating. So
stupid. It doesn't
make
sense. Yeah. I think just because this is where it started, this is where it needs to end. And so we can run through the abandoned hospital where all this started, so we can get all the flashbacks to, you know...
What happened for no reason.
Yeah,
no
Bartlett reason. No being reason. There and killing... Just to show you... I mean, it's kind of interesting, but yeah, it doesn't really make sense, because we already knew the story, so you're just showing it again.
Is this a show that she's just as crazy as he is?
That's
so
really...
So she does have to kill him with him?
Yeah.
And while the flashbacks she's killing people in the current time, it's her trying to shoot Michael J. Fox and Lucy.
Yeah. So Michael J. Fox and Lucy are now at this abandoned place. Joker and Harley Quinn are also here. They're running around doing their thing. Mm. And Pedo Bear is also sneaking around somewhere. So it's this whole big culmination of nonsense.
Yeah. It's just crazy. They're running around. They're trying to find the chapel. Trying to get there.
Getting married.
How big is this stupid hospital?
Oh no!
Four floors at least. He finally gets the chapel, but he drops the urn. It's caught by Pedo Bear, who's like, "Hey, guess what? I got an Uzi for reasons," and shoots the shit out of his arm.
He does even worse. He's like, "I get the urn. Let me guess. You have to put this in the chapel to cleanse the spirit, so you stop all this madness, right? Oh, I just dumped it out. Oops, fuck you. I have an Uzi, and it's shooting up like."
Yeah,
because the movie can't just end.
No,
just last longer.
Can't end.
Yeah. But Bartlett's loose again. He's doing things. Eventually, he notices that Jammers and Patty are kind of like both squaring off of them with guns. So he just kind of like, oh, I can fall through the floor here and she just shoots the shit out of him.
Blows his face off. Head right off.
Yep.
To like where his head is replaced by a spirit head.
Yes.
Like a cartoon.
Yes. But at this point.
Which also, quick side note.
Cartoon like Who Framed Roger Rabbit when the weasels die. Like, it's just like that.
He even had a harp.
Here's the weird shit. Because I don't get the rating system. Because what I read was originally he was going to get shot in the chest.
Uh-huh.
But the ratings board had already deemed whatever was going on in this movie so far earned it an R rating.
Was this rated R?
This was rated R.
You know what it was? The humping in the casket.
Probably.
I guess? But like that?
I don't know if that was it, but that's what I'm saying.
I'm thinking it's probably more like violent related stuff, like the melting face. But like, again, it's melting like a cartoon.
It was that tiny second of frames where you actually see Patricia's mom in the bed covered in blood.
That might be it.
It's probably all they did.
But yeah, because of that, they were just like, well, fuck it. We're getting an R. Let's go for an R. And blew up his head. So.
Yeah, but there wasn't even any blood.
It wasn't.
It was just poop. His head's gone. Yeah. There's a cartoon there now.
Yep, whatever.
And then this idiot, Michael J. Fox, falls through four floors and is just fine.
After being shot with an Uzi.
And frozen. Yeah. He was frozen today, Doc.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about that.
I was waiting for somebody to do it.
So, what is that?
So, yeah.
So, Lucy shows
Dammers
up.
Is now dead.
Yeah.
And Lucy's like, well, fuck, I gotta go get that. I don't know. I gotta go stop them. So, she goes running off.
They're like all together in the basement now. Let's just wrap it up. Let's wrap it up.
They go to the basement. I don't even know. Like, Patty's about to shoot Frank. And, Bartlett's got Lucy. She cold cocks Frank in the face. He's just dying because fucking he fell four floors and died twice already.
She chokes him out. She chokes him out with
shotgun. Okay.
Yeah. Because she's out of bullets.
Yeah. Right. And so, yeah, she's coming back to try and deal with Lucy when his ghost shows up again. Just, like, grabs her and pulls her ghost out.
He rips her spirit out of her body. Like, holy shit.
So I guess he learned a little bit.
Yes.
Like, shit. I don't know. There was no precedent for that.
Yeah, just sheer will and determination.
Like, his tube of light was coming down from heaven, and she was in it with him. So maybe that gave him the strength to do it, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. Or since he can see spirits, maybe he could see her spirit in her body. And maybe, like, get it.
Something.
Whatever.
Because we know that he could touch spirits.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he could physically interact with them, so maybe that's how.
Something like that.
But
whatever.
Whatever.
But he rips her soul out of her body, and like, they're flying the tube up to heaven.
Yeah, Bartlett chases after them eventually.
Can't leave his woman. So he's like, I'm coming, babe. I'm coming to get you.
Finally, like, they struggle. Bartlett gets her free, but he goes up to heaven. And they're like, ha-ha, we're going back down. And he goes up, and he finds he's in heaven.
Then, like, the sphincter,
like,
quickly envelops them. And then you're like...
After a quick hentai.
No, I mean, you look and like you can tell like they're in an orifice now. Like,
yeah, oh, yeah.
Like you can just tell.
They're in a butthole.
Yeah, they're in a butthole. Yeah. And like what's the name? Stuart and Cyrus show up. They're like, whoa, stand back for a second. You don't want to be part of this.
Nope.
You don't want no part of this, Dewey Cox. You don't
Well, like it does become a butthole, but it does like we have to do that hentai moment because we see all the walls have these little snake things come out.
Yep.
And they take time to show one of them go into Patty's mouth.
Yeah, orifices.
Yeah.
Eyeballs.
I mean, going into eyeballs, whatever. That's fine. Yeah. But like,
right in her mouth. Just
right in her mouth. Like where does that come from? And then, yeah, it pulls back to show it is just one giant anus worm, which just goes down
to hell.
Into the fire.
To spawn hell.
It's still better than Spawn. It is. Go back and watch Spawn.
Yeah.
It's still better than Spawn.
Yeah, it's a little better.
I haven't seen Spawn in a while.
So. Let's not... Guys, what did we talk about?
Shit!
Remember Crocodile Dundee?
Shit.
Let's not do this.
Oh, no.
I almost watched the cartoon is on Amazon Prime. Remember?
The HBO one?
Yeah, I almost watched it the other day.
Talks of it's all coming back soon.
Yeah.
Reboot of Spawn.
Why?
To make it better this time?
Hopefully, but I like the boasting point so far is like, I'm going to do a Spawn movie where Spawn doesn't talk at all. Like, that doesn't sound like a better plan.
Fantastic.
Anyway.
Why don't you just chunk it in with the DC universe?
Might as well.
Just save yourself some time.
Is Spawn DC?
It's Image.
Image.
So it's just a ripoff of other comic companies.
Which also, by the way, they're talking about doing the Imageverse or whatever.
Oh, great. I can't wait for that Wildcats movie. Yep.
And Fair Young enough. Bloods and all kinds of bloods. And
I hope.
If I get Invincible, I'm all right.
I hope Disney buys out Image and just shuts it down.
Wow.
Fires everyone.
Wow.
Yep.
That's rough.
I said it.
But anyway, so
yeah, please, let's end this movie.
So the Cyrus and Stuart are like,
they're in heaven now.
They're in heaven. Like, you see Frank's wife. She's like, oh, I missed you. It's not your time yet. Fuck out.
Get out.
Yeah.
Go have fun.
Go down there and live a little bit.
In other words, you can bang her.
Yeah, go hump that pale girl, which, I guess.
Like, so fast forward, like, hits the ground.
Here's your hall pass.
Yeah, fast forward. Now him and Lucy are together. But I'm like, yo, you just saw your wife. You know she's waiting for you.
Yep.
Like,
I also was thinking, sorry, what?
No, I'm
so but she, like, said it's okay.
I guess so. Yeah, she said it's okay.
The thing that threw me off is they're like, oh, by the way, yeah, it's not your time. Like, this is the second time he's died today. He's bleeding out. He fell for a story. It's his time. He's got a concussion and shit. Yeah. Like, it's for sure his time, all right?
Yeah.
He got into a car accident earlier. Like, anyway. So, yeah, and supposedly it's not his time. They send him back.
It was all an elaborate setup by Jigsaw. He just wanted him to really appreciate life.
Yeah. You mean Kevin McAllister? All right. So, we cut away to, we see Frank's house. It's just getting demolished now.
Starting over.
Yeah, he's starting over with Lucy. They're having a nice little picnic. The sheriff shows up to talk about possible book deal.
Nothing, nothing, and nothing.
Yeah,
and
whatever.
Nothing.
We see Danvers is following the sheriff around, and
he's a ghost.
We see Lucy can see him, yeah. And then that's it. Cut to Don't Fear the Reaper, and cut to black. And that's The Frighteners from 1996. Okay, so on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a score of 62%. Audience gave this a score of 71%. It's their thoughts and opinions. I am doing great. All right, what about you and yours, Rob?
Yeah, I'd probably be between 60 and 70, maybe. I can't really recommend it. I mean, it's not bad, like, but there are so many better ghost movies to see. Like, watch Ghostbusters, man. Seriously. Don't watch this. This is way too long. It's way too convoluted. It's not funny. CGI is terrible. And it's just, I don't know. The whole time I was watching, I was just like, all right, let's do this. Let's get on with this. So, no, it's not a recommend for me.
All right, Brian.
I would like to recommend this movie, but you need to edit out, like, maybe an hour of content. And then retouch up the edging and on the CGI and stuff, and like take out the cartoony parts, and like then I recommend it. But like, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, I want to like it more and more. I do. I want to like it more, but I just, today is not what I remembered when I saw it when I was 19. Like, it's not what I remember.
Yeah. This is a tough one. Part of me enjoys it, and I think it's fun. I think it's kind of, it's fairly harmless, and the story's decent, but yeah, it goes on for far too long, and just the CGI does not hold up well at all. There are some practical effects too, which are nice, but yeah, just not enough to really earn a recommendation. So I won't say it's one you shouldn't see, but I can't say it's one you really should see. So
the best way to describe it, we all watched it together, and it was silent for the entire movie.
That's true.
We didn't joke. We didn't, like,
I think mostly because Rob was holding back terrible comments.
It was just silent. We didn't laugh. We didn't joke. It was just nothing. Like,
I do remember thinking at one point when they were doing some of the more comedic shtick or whatever, just being like, and there was nothing.
Nothing. Nope.
So yeah, that's
Joe, what do you think about it? What was that? Huh? Joe, you're on the other side, Joe. We can't hear you. You gotta, like, cross over so we can hear you.
Yeah, does anyone have a Ouija board?
Whatever, yeah. Joe. Fine.
All right. So I'm assuming that Joe sucks, but he's still gonna say no. So that's not recommends from us. We're gonna go with Ghostbusters,
yeah,
instead. Ghostbusters. Because why not? Ghostbusters is a good choice. So, that's what you should see instead. What else do we have for the people, Brian?
It's that time to make that roll, D20 of Fate time. It's Joe's roll. He's on the other side, so we need him to cross over real quick. Joe, manifest yourself.
Joe, come join us.
Hey, it's Joe. I'm calling on assignment from the other side to deliver my roll. Here it goes. It is a 9. whatever that is, I hope it's a good movie. I'll see you all soon, once I figure out a way to cross back over. Bye-bye.
Don't go towards the light. Don't come back to us, Joe.
Carolyn. Carolyn.
Leave that old ass lady over there. Kick the little kid in the face. He's a fucking puppet. The fucking creepy ass clown puppet over there.
Return to us. All right. So either way, whether Joe comes back alive or undead or whatever's going to happen, he rolled a 9. What is a 9, Rob?
Well, guys, 9 is 2008's Taken, starring Liam Neeson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, okay.
What's so sad about that?
Yeah. Like, we'll talk about when we watch the movie.
All right. Okay.
Well, yeah, that's what we're here to do.
Liam Neeson's?
Liam Neeson's. So,
get to work on my Irish accent.
Is he Irish?
Good luck. So, what's besides the terrible accent, what do you got for the people, Rob?
He might be Scottish, actually. I might be being an ass. Guys, we want to thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com. Please consider subscribing to the show. We have a new episode every week. Please help spread the word about the show by leaving a positive review on iTunes and liking us on Facebook, following us on Twitter. You can find us both places at 4ampodcast. You can also check out our website again, 4ampodcast.podbean.com. You check out our store. We've got t-shirts. We got cool stuff there. We got archived episodes. If you want to hear our old stuff, not available on the old
iTunes, Google Play,
all those things. If you can't find episodes past 50, something, I don't know. Yeah, you can, now, I
think. Whatever episodes you can find on Podbean.
You sure can. We got them all there. And you can sponsor an episode. Isn't that fun? You send us a little walking around money, we'll keep the lights on kind of money, and you can tell us what movie you want us to watch.
Help us raise the money to reincarnate Joe.
Yeah, we'll have an episode dedicated just for you. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us at theforeampodcast@gmail.com.
Like, real talk, you don't want to sponsor an episode, but want to throw some cash, you know.
That is also fine. Yeah, like we said, do have a donate button there, I believe, as well.
You might need to build a homunculus for Joe to inhabit.
A monkey for Joe to inhabit?
Yes. Or you can just buy a shirt, because you want to wear us.
So, like, how many ounces of sulfur, how many ounces of earth, how many ounces
for
of...
For Joe? It's mostly sulfur. Okay. Every time Joe walks into the room, it pretty much smells like somebody's been coloring Easter eggs.
Okay.
I mean, like, I don't want to be a suit of armor, though.
I'll do that. That's okay. Cool. All right. Until then, thank you for joining us. We hope you all join us next week for Taken. And until then,
deuces.
Later.
Good night, everybody.